Shannon Joy on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, world, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio right here on TNT. It is international radio. I am so glad to be with all of you tonight and glad once again to welcome into the Joy Virtual Studio our very good friend and regular guest, Steve Kirsch. He is a tech entrepreneur out of Silicon Valley, turned truth teller, warrior, reporter, journalist, activist over the past 2.5 years, like so many of us, accidental activists as we battle for sanity and liberty and truth. He's one of my favorite people. Can you believe, Steve, that we are still here almost 2.5 years later? I think you and I met up about 6 months into the dark days of COVID-19 lockdown-ish. I think it was in the fall. And I just marvel at how we're still battling this. Like, the truth is still being suppressed. And it's just amazing to consider.
Yeah, it is. I find it quite stunning that we now have even the Israeli Ministry of Health has been caught red-handed, basically getting a study done, finding that the study was not according to the narrative, and then they suppressed it. Mm-hmm. And they told the public that there was nothing to see here, folks, move along. And I thought for sure that that story would break the stranglehold on the news media, and they would finally report on it. But the news media has been completely silenced, and they will not report on it. They don't even want to see the data.
It is unbelievable. This is why I wanted to have you on the show tonight. Very interesting, Steve. I rarely miss stories like this, but there is so much out there. There's so much misinformation, disinformation, propaganda. I mean, the news cycle is just, even as a broadcasting professional, news is my job. I do it every day. This story, Steve, I stumbled on today for some reason. And this broke. You were actually reporting on this as early as September 2nd, but the story actually broke on Neil Oliver's show on August 20th. And it is correct. A blockbuster. And everyone needs to pay attention, listen up, because I want to go through this story step by step. I want everyone to understand it, Steve, because this is maniacally, criminally insane. Like, what they are doing and what they are now on the record being caught doing in the government of Israel is a crime against humanity. I mean, you cannot call it anything else. And we have proof. And everyone needs to know about this. You're going to have to share this with all your friends and family, because I really want, like, this needs to penetrate mainstream news media. But even more so, Steve, it needs to penetrate conservative media. Children's Health Defense has covered this. As of today, I've been looking on Twitter on some of people's favorite conservative news outlets like The Blaze and Glenn Beck and Newsweek, and or not Newsweek, I'm sorry, Newsmax. And I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing the big talkers. I'm not seeing conservative talkers. I'm not seeing people like, I don't know, Ted Cruz and Rand Paul. I thought that these guys were on our side in terms of you know, lockdowns and that type of thing. But voices you would normally hear on this are completely silent. What have you found, and what is the status? And we're going to get to the story, but has anyone report? I mean, where are we with that?
Well, you're right. You haven't seen it anywhere else. It was on, of course, GB News, which is where it debuted on August 20th. And I found out about it because Retzef Alevi, who's was on that broadcast, he sent me a message on WhatsApp, and he said, "Hey, check out this tweet." And that's it. He didn't say, "This is groundbreaking" or anything.
Right.
He didn't play it up at all. And I checked out the tweet. You know, just happened to be, you know, going through my WhatsApp, and I saw it. I said, "Man, this is incredible!
Incredible! This is the smoking gun.
Yeah, this is
everything.
Yeah, this is a, there is no way you can ignore this. There, I mean, it's impossible. If you're a scientist, you can't say, well, this is from a misinformation spreader. It's from the Israeli Ministry of Health. It doesn't get any better than that.
Mm. Well, let's
the
start
source
there.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, let's start there. Let's walk the audience through, because they are unaware of this story. At least I haven't presented it yet on my program. Let's start at the beginning. What we're talking about here, on August 20, there was a leaked videotape of a Zoom meeting between the Israeli Ministry of Health and scientists who had conducted, a year after the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines, an extensive study on vaccine injury and its correlation to the SARS-CoV-19 mRNA vaccine. And this is on record. Can you tell the audience the story? What was the setup? What was revealed? And why it's so ground shattering?
Sure. So the Israeli Ministry of Health was responsible for the safety and the vaccination program, you know, for the COVID vaccines. And so they had not been collecting any safety data at all for a year after the vaccines rolled out. So somebody figured out that that was a kind of a shortcoming. And, you know, because maybe somebody asked to see the safety data and they didn't have any, you know, something happened that caused them in December of 2021, basically a year after the vaccines rolled out, to start to gather safety information. So what they did is they hired this group of scientists and they said, hey, you know, what do we gather? How do we gather it? What's the program? And so they met with the group of scientists and then they collected data for 6 months. And then the group of scientists said, okay, now let's look at the data after 6 months. So we're talking 18 months after the vaccine started that they're first, they're going to take their first peek at the data. And they were astonished. This, you know, so first of all, they had to do this for 6 months because they wanted to make sure that they had the data and the long-term data and so forth. What they found was that the side effects weren't mild and they weren't short-term. And they were being caused by the vaccine. So essentially, the Israeli government had been lying to the Israeli people about the safety of the vaccine. These severe long-term events caused by the vaccine. In fact, for neurological, in 65% of the adverse events reported, they were not resolved, meaning this could be for life. So what they reported, or so, when they got this report, they spent 2 months and they told the Israeli people that vaccines are perfectly safe. Nothing to see here, folks, move along. So they basically ignored everything that the scientists gave them. And the scientists served it up on a silver platter. They said, hey, these are, you know, we created these charts so you can tell the public about what's going on. And they chose not to. Now, there should have been, if let's say the head of that division, Dr. Sharon, and I'm blanking on her last name.
Sure.
She should have, when that thing came out on GB News, because the Israeli media refused to cover it. So it had to come out on a UK station.
Well, you skipped a step there, though, because so that the audience understands the timeline. Israeli government doesn't collect any data on vaccine injury and or death the first year of the rollout of the vaccines, which is insane, quite frankly. OK, it's insane. It's an experimental vaccine. They probably didn't collect the data because they didn't want to know what would be in the data. But I digress. So finally, after a year, they decide to deploy these scientists to do a study to look at the adverse injuries and impact of the vaccines. The scientists come back and present on video with charts and graphs to the Ministry of Health that, hey, these are dangerous. There are injuries. They are serious. They are much more prevalent than we thought they would be. And they only looked at five or six different injuries, just the top five or six. They didn't look at all of them, right? And they also established with the ministry that the vaccines are causing the injury. That was a very important part of that presentation. So the vaccines were causing these injuries. There was causation. And so then the Ministry of Health sits on it. They're like, oh, wow, yikes. That's not good. So they sit on it for 2 months and think about it and ruminate on it. And they probably talk to some PR people and some consultants. And then they decide to roll out to the Israeli people a brief on this study. And they reiterate that the vaccine is safe and effective, that it is safe to take. They essentially cover up the study that they commissioned, right? Now, where it gets interesting, in that video, and I was reading part of your write-up, Steve, in the video, the researchers were expressing moral reservations. They were admitting, like, we can't do this. I mean, we feel bad about this. They even had conversations about the legalities of this now and what they should tell physicians and officials to say, because there might be legal liabilities because the Israeli government lied to the people for such a long period of time. And so that led to someone leaking this video. And I wonder, I mean, do you speculate that perhaps it was one of those researchers like that had reservations, that was kind of struggling with this, that knew that they were dangerous? And then once they saw that the Israeli government was going to try to cover it up, they leaked it out to your colleagues?
We don't know. Mm. It could have been one of the researchers, or it could have been someone at the Ministry of Health. And even if I knew, I wouldn't tell you.
Oh, come on now. Oh, see, now you're smirking at me. You guys can't see because we see each other, but we're on the radio. And yeah, all right. I see. Now I think that I think you know. But
so I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I'm just messing with you. So, you know, at this point, is this story, I mean, the ramifications of this are incalculable, right? I mean, this is now straight from the horse's mouth that these vaccines are harming people. And the data, I mean, you did a 20-page write-up on what was said in this meeting, and you even ran it by our friend Martin Kulldorff over at Brownstone Institute. But can you speak to the data and what they found in terms of the injuries?
Yeah, I mean, and we don't need to get into the details here, but they looked at five. They basically said, let's prioritize based on the number of events. And so that's not necessarily the severe events, but just the, you know, what was the most frequently reported side effects? Let's look at that. Let's look next frequently reported. So they did it based on reporting frequency. So they never even looked at the cardiovascular events because it was the sixth most heavily reported. They just looked at the top five.
Wow.
They just made their cut at the top five. And so neurological injury was in the top four. Menstrual issues was in the top five.
Right.
And so they reported on stuff that was the most frequent, but not necessarily the most severe. And so what they found, of course, is that, oh my gosh, these women who never had any menstrual issues before are now having menstrual issues. Women who hadn't had periods are now having menstrual cycles again. People are having very heavy bleeding. It's not stopping. It's going continuously. I mean, these are pretty serious. This is indication of very serious adverse events to a woman's reproductive organs. This is very serious, and it affects men's reproductive organs as well. And we won't go into that, but there's no doubt. And they showed causality. They showed that it's called rechallenge. So when they gave the vaccine again to the same person, the effect came back. So it wasn't just a random thing.
Wow.
It came back. And it wasn't person specific, because what they did is they found that, oh, these events are happening in lots and lots of people. And if it was just a single person and they rechallenged them with the vaccine, great, they could just write that off. But what they were finding is consistency, that lots of different people, when rechallenged, would come back with the same injury over and over and over again. So causality was very well established because it's dose dependent. Effectively, you know, it's like if we wanted to prove whether golf balls fly because the club hits the ball and then the balls go, you'd go and you know, swing the club and hit the ball and the ball would go 200 yards and you swing it again. It goes 240 yards and it goes, you know, swing it again. Right. And that's how you establish causality because it's a cause and effect. Here, whenever you poked with the vax, menstrual problem, poke it again, menstrual problem, poke it again, you know, and this, for some people it'd be menstrual problem, other people it'd be neurological problem.
Unbelievable. We're talking to Steve Kirsch. This is a blockbuster. I want to encourage all of you to go to Steve's Substack. It's stevekirsch.substack.com. A wealth of information. He is the data guy. He's done an enormous amount of work in bringing people the best, the most reliable data on everything. I mean, back, you know, when we were fighting to get the masks off our kids, but even more recently today, really, really homing in on this issue of vaccine injury and death. And he has, I think it's, I printed it out. It's about 17 pages printed. Oh, it's an overview of this study. When we come back, I'm going to ask you, Steve, about the study itself and, you know, what they looked at and how many, that type of thing. And also you showed this, you had a hard time finding a vaccine scientist to take a look at this. Martin Kulldorff did. He looked at the data, he looked at this information, and he had some interesting conclusions as well. So we're going to look at that when we come back tonight, right here on The Shannon Joy Show.
You should hear what Joseph Arthur is talking about.
The state of New York declared a state of emergency Friday over the continued spread of polio. Hard to know what to make of this, but a few things come to mind straight away. Detecting it in the water makes me think of our friend Dr. Brian Artis and his theory about them infecting the water supply. He came up with the theory of COVID being of venomous origin, and not long ago pointed out the strange campaign Mayor Eric Adams went on in NYC urging New Yorkers to drink tap water. It showed him filling a glass from the tap and gunning it down. It was just odd, you know, because it's like, it's one thing to tell people to drink water, that's fine, but it was going on and on and on, specifically about tap water. 2022, and the mayor of New York is big upping tap water. Seems strange. Encourage people to drink water because it's hot, sure, though slightly strange in and of itself, as if we needed a push to take care of the basics, but infantilizing us is the rule of the day lately.
Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
While the mainstream media peddles fear with climate change alarmism, thousands of prominent scientists reject this pseudoscience. For example, CLINTEL was founded in 2019 by Emeritus Professor of Geophysics Gus Berghout and science journalist Marcel Kroc. This global network of 900 scientists and professionals issued the World Climate Declaration. There is no climate emergency, which was endorsed by numerous experts in the field, including professors of climatology and meteorology and other related scientific disciplines. Good environmental stewardship requires a strong economy. Genuine environmentalists understand this and that a destroyed economy will impoverish billions of people. This would not only be a humanitarian tragedy, but an environmental tragedy in the name of net zero carbon.
Support childhood slavery and buy an electric vehicle. We mandate that the truth be told.
Lighting the fuse for freedom.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Steve Kirsch joins me tonight in the Joy Virtual Studio. You can find all of his work, very important work. This is a must follow Substack account, stevekirsch.substack.com. We're talking about the biggest story on the face of the planet, in my opinion. It speaks, Steve, before we get back to the study, this Israeli study that was commissioned by the Ministry of Health that found causality. They found that indeed the vaccines are dangerous. The vaccines are harmful to people, and yet they covered it up, right? They commissioned the study. They covered it up. And the more astounding piece of this is that it's as if it never happened. It is not being reported. And that was, I mean, it was released on August 20th and still crickets. What about within the scientific community? Is there anything happening with it right now?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Jeez.
Nobody wants to see the data. The data is not out. Nobody wants to see the data. The data is available. The Epoch Times, though, wanted to see the data, and we arranged a briefing, and the briefing happened. So the Epoch Times is writing a story now.
I love the Epoch Times.
Yeah, and they have their top journalist writing the story about this data. And he was briefed directly by the people who have the video.
Unbelievable. So,
and he seemed pretty happy about the information that he got. Now, CNN and the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal were not interested in getting the data. You see, because they don't want to know what the truth is. I mean, that's really stunning. When these news are, you know, 60 Minutes isn't, you know, non-responsive. They don't want to see any information that would counter the narrative because it makes them look silly.
Right.
Nobody wants to look silly. And so they pretend that the data doesn't exist. I mean, I've been trying to get these people at Stanford, these people on the outside committees, I'm mailing them, you know, multiple times. And the only guy responding is Martin Kulldorff.
Wow.
Because I included him on the email. And Martin's not even on any of the FDA or CDC committees anymore. And he used to be at Harvard Medical School, and he's on leave of absence from Harvard Medical School by his choice. And he wrote back and he said, yeah, I'd like to see the data.
Mm.
How is it that the guy who's not on the committees anymore is the one guy who wants to see the data?
That's why he's not on the committee.
Me, Shannon.
That's why he's not on the committee. So this is what I love about Steve, just so that you guys understand. Steve gets the receipts, right? So he finds this data, he pushes it out. Really, some of the smartest people on the face of the planet are following his Substack. And then he sends it to all the relevant people so that they cannot claim to have not known about it. So he sends, you know, all of this information to high-ranking government officials, to, you know, committees, health committees, and, you know, it is, as always, crickets. But I don't think it's even just them feeling silly, Steve. I mean, when you think of the gravity of the situation at hand, you know, we have known this. There has been so much data that has come out, so many good peer-reviewed studies. I mean, it's like an avalanche, and it just continues to build. I talk about a mountain of data, a mountain of studies, and it's becoming pretty well established that these vaccines are not safe, they are not effective, and they are harming people and potentially sterilizing a massive population of human beings on the face of this planet. And so do you ever consider that the level of evil that has been committed against mankind is just too much for them to bear? Like they can't reconcile with what they were a part of or what they have done or what they have looked away from?
It's hard for me to comment on that. It's similar to going up to somebody who's wearing a mask and asking them, why are you wearing a mask? And then they'll say, oh, it makes me feel more comfortable.
Mm.
Right? Because they don't want to get into a scientific argument with you.
Right, right.
So, and you can't argue about their feelings. And because you can only say, oh, okay. Well, you know, there's no science behind that. And she said, yeah, no, but it just makes me feel more comfortable to wear it. Because they want to avoid getting into any kind of confrontation.
Discomfort.
And so I think it's a natural tendency of people to avoid confrontation and avoid confronting, avoiding the cognitive dissonance.
Right.
You know?
Right.
People don't like to be shown that they're wrong on something, especially something that they injected into themselves that they can't get rid of. Right. And so it's hard for people to come to grips with it. And I don't care whether it's my local reporters of the San Jose Mercury News who won't talk to me about this. You know, so even in the small papers, they won't. They're not going to talk to me, and they're not going to talk to me in from the big papers either. They don't want to see any of this data that would go against the narrative. It's like a, it's like you don't want to go to the dentist. You know, I mean, maybe right. That's not the right analogy, but it's like, well, you don't want to buy life insurance. It's like confronting life insurance, right? Because and that means you're going to die sometime, and you know, or your funeral, right? Like, how many people want to go and talk about their funeral arrangements? Well,
right.
No, it's like not something that I really want to talk about. And so they make it a lower priority, like, yeah, you know, I don't want to see this data because you could show it to somebody else and I'll read it there, or I'll wait until it's in the peer-reviewed scientific literature and read it there. So they have excuses in their minds for why they would say, I don't want to see this. And so they can come up with the excuses like, I'll see it later, or someone else will see it, or I'll hear about it for sure. And you know, if it's really legit, I'm kind of busy right now. And
so you think a lot of them,
there's a story that plays in their mind.
Yeah, it's too much to bite off. It's too much thinking, too much reconsidering, too much challenging their pre-held narratives, their worldviews, the institutions that they trust, the publications that they trust. And it's like, if you pull out that one linchpin, like that one little piece, it shatters their world. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's too, and I tend to agree with you. What I marvel at, what is astonishing to me, is that so many of these kinds of people have infiltrated nearly every position of power and influence in Western democracies across the globe, right? I mean, Ron Johnson, Steve, that's it. I mean, think about that. In the United States of America, the only senator, the only elected official at the federal level that I know of that has even acknowledged the potential of vaccine injury. How astounding is that? When we come back,
they want to get rid of him. And the Democrats are spending tens of millions.
Let's talk about him. When we come back, I want to talk about Ron Johnson, because he's amazing. And I would love to help him. I would love to help raise some money for him. I know that you're trying to do that on your Substack as well. And if there is anyone in this nation that is worthy of re-election, it is Senator Ron Johnson. And we have to rally around him. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Steve about that tonight on the Shannon Joy Show.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Two buses carrying migrants who came to the U.S. illegally arrived this morning outside Vice President Harris's Washington home, sent by Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott, protesting Biden administration policies. Sources within the Department of Justice revealed that Facebook has been spying on the private messages and data of American users and reporting them to the FBI if they express anti-government or anti-authority sentiments or question the 2020 election.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Steve Kirsch joins me tonight in the Joy Virtual Studio talking about the blockbuster story that no one is reporting. Massive study out of Israel presented to the Ministry of Truth, basically on record, on video with charts and graphs, admitting the vaccines are dangerous. They're causing very serious long-term and short-term adverse injury. It is caused by the vaccine. They established causality in this study. The researchers talking to the folks in the Ministry of Health during this exchange expressed reservation, right? like maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe we should tell people. And despite all of that, the Ministry of Truth held on to it for two, or the Ministry of Truth, the Israeli ministry held on to it for 2 months and then released a report telling the Israeli people the exact opposite. Steve Kirsch, in your piece on Substack, there was a mention, this really surprised me. You mentioned that the Israeli people, despite what their government is telling them, have done virtually a 180 on uptake of vaccine boosters. And the data was pretty interesting. Even though they're being lied to and propagandized and lied to and propagandized, they're figuring it out. What did you find in terms of those numbers?
Well, the numbers are pretty dramatic. Israel used to be one of the most vaccinated countries on earth. Now they have a 2% compliance.
Mm. Wow.
So, basically, the Israelis are not getting the recommended boosters that the government is telling them to get. So that from a government point of view, only 2.4% of the Israeli population is now considered to be fully vaccinated.
That's got to be a big red flag for big pharma, for these governments who are trying to cover this up. And this is one of the things that you've expressed in terms of really being, it's actually a little discerning, or I mean, I'm sorry, disconcerting to know that you think that they're saying to themselves right now, we can't put this genie back in the bottle. We are going to have to figure out a way to address this, because it's not just the Israeli study, as I mentioned, the mountains of data, but the fact that they're not doing it makes me very nervous. I'm like, what do they have up their sleeves? Like, why are they so cocky? Why do they still have so much hubris when they can see this? And is it just because they're willfully blind, as we spoke about in the last segment? Or do you think they've got something coming or some reason to feel like they're untouchable?
Well, I think it's the probably a combination of reasons, cognitive dissonance, pressure from above, sticking by their previous story, don't want to be embarrassed. And then there's the belief system that, vaccines are always safe and effective. And so this must be bad data coming from these researchers. You know, maybe they screwed up somehow. I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going through individual minds here, but if I were in the Israeli Ministry of Health, you would better believe that information would go public, because there's no excuse for not reporting it. Right. Now you could have report it with some caveat, saying, "Oh, you have some concerns. Like, I don't understand how this could possibly be," but you can't not report that to the Israeli people. That would be really unethical to do. I mean, there is no excuse. There's no rock that is large enough for you to crawl under to be able to hide from this. And yet, not only is there no investigation, right? I mean, that's the stunning thing.
Right.
This thing is out in the UK media. It's not out in the Israeli media. It's out in the UK media. And so it's out. Yeah. And there is nobody calling for an investigation, heads will roll, whatever. There's nobody in the legislature, in their parliament, calling for an investigation. Well, there is nobody in the Israeli Ministry of Health calling for an investigation as to why there could be a scientific report saying that these vaccines are harmful, and it was distorted when it was reported to the people.
Yeah.
Now, maybe there's nothing going on there, and it was, you know, but look, we got the goods. We got the people on tape.
Yeah.
There is no way you can walk that back.
I don't think this is over. I think, to your point, it is. Usually you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a politician who would like to cover as you know what in a situation like this. Like, this is usually when the rats start scrambling, right? They come up with their story, the thing falls apart. And I actually think we're probably very close to that. It's so hard to predict when that tipping point happens. But I do think that this story is an incredible one. It's not going to go away. And I know right now it's, you know, little old me and, you know, a couple outlets, European outlets, and, you know, one in Great Britain that is reporting on this. But I think when it hits epic times, which is, you heard it here first, guys, by the way, hopefully if it hits epic times, that's going to blow the lid off it, because epic times is going to force the hand of The Blaze and Daily Wire and some of the conservative news media outlets, which will then force the hand of Fox News, which will then force the hand of people like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, who have refused to acknowledge this.
Like, and Ted, why are you talking about this?
Right. Well, yeah. And then But then, you know, it will prove Ron Johnson right. And I want to talk about Ron Johnson because you are really helping him. And I'm really glad that you're helping him. I'm glad that you guys are in contact because he is being, just so that you guys know, Ron Johnson, Senator, United States Senator from Wisconsin. He is, when I say the only elected senator in the United States government that will mention vaccine injury or potential vaccine injury, vaccine safety. Now, you will hear Ted Cruz or Rand Paul talk about the fact that it doesn't work. We should, it's not effective, or they don't believe in mandates. But this is the statement that cannot be uttered in Washington, D.C. or by any Republicans statewide or across the country. They can't say vaccine injury. They can't acknowledge theirs. Ron Johnson has been doing this, and he's been doing it loudly for almost 2 years, probably a little over 2 years. How'd you get connected with him?
That's hard for me to remember.
Yeah.
But he's always been on this issue. He's always been looking at early treatments and looking at alternatives for this for a long time. And I finally, I'm not sure what event or what have you actually caused us to be introduced. But yeah, I mean, it happened a while ago.
Yeah, he hosted a second opinion. I believe it was the panel in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, and I was involved in that.
And you were part of that. And so you guys have kept in touch. He's running for reelection in the state of Wisconsin. And you are reporting that the Democrats, quite frankly, probably the Republicans are sniping him from the side, if you want to be honest. It's probably like both of them, if I were to guess. But the Democrats are really rolling out all of the stops in this to try to unseat him. What is the campaign looking like right now? And what can people do to help him?
So a couple things. You could contribute to his campaign. You can go to his website and contribute to his campaign. So he can always use more funds. The second thing is that we're trying to identify Democrats in Wisconsin who support Ron Johnson. And I've been able to only locate a few of them. So if anybody listening knows of a Democrat in Wisconsin, head on over to my Substack, and there are instructions for how to let me know about such a person.
Awesome.
And so that'll pop up almost instantly for me. So
awesome. I would love to have him on this platform to talk about everything that he's done and what he has learned. And, you know, so I'll definitely be keeping an eye on his campaign. That's it, guys. I mean, that it's really astounding.
Yeah, he's the best chance. I mean, when you look at what has happened, the, you know, sort of the lack of any kind of investigation.
I know.
Of any interest in this. Like, he's the guy who's all over this. And so it's really important. It's one guy. He's the only guy in Congress.
It's crazy.
That realizes that people have been injured by the vaccine. It's really important that we don't lose that, because they're desperate to try to get rid of him.
Well, here's the narrative. I'll tell you, because I know in the political circles here in New York and even at the national level, the narrative, we know on the left, the Democrats, I mean, lost cause. We're you know, crazy anti-vaxxers, we're MAGA Trumpers, we're rednecks, tinfoil hat, whatever, you know. But within Republican circles, there is a narrative, and this is put out by leadership in the Republican Party, that talking about vaccine injury or adverse events, or even mentioning something like the vaccine adverse event reporting system, is bad marketing. It's too controversial. You'll get labeled as an anti-vaxxer. And so the talking points are, you can talk about efficacy, that it doesn't work. You can say as a candidate that you won't mandate vaccines, or you don't believe in vaccine mandates. You can, there are certain acceptable talking points, but the injury, which is astounding, because the injury is going to be everything. You know, the injury is going to be essentially what I think takes this whole thing down. Because if they can establish the fraud, if they can establish that they lied and committed fraudulent studies to get this thing approved, then, you know, the liability, they're all of a sudden their immunity essentially goes away.
Yep.
And so the calculus from conservatives is always what astounds me. Like, you know what to expect from, I know what to expect from the Democrats, but on the right, there's just nothing.
Yeah, no, that's true. I wish there was more.
Have you made headway with anyone? That. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm always curious about the conversations that you're having and who you're finding. Like, are you finding, like, you know, new allies or making any headway? It is really difficult. Really difficult.
No, it's true. It is really difficult. And the issue is that the doctors have been silenced. Doctors are told that if they speak out against the vaccine, they'll lose their license, they'll lose their medical, the hospital privileges, or they'll lose their certification, or they'll be fired, or, you know, whatever. So there's a huge amount of intimidation going on.
Mm.
So the doctors aren't allowed to speak out. And then it makes it look like, well, the science, of course, supports the vaccines. Well, of course. Because you've coerced all these doctors so that they will not speak out against the vaccines, not because of the science, but because you have applied coercion.
Yeah.
From the very top.
Yeah. Well, it really is. I mean, the resistance is growing. I think truly astounding the fact that only 2% of Israelis are now up to date on their vaccines. The numbers in the US, I would guess, are dwindling as well. We know that the data on parents who are submitting their children under the age of 5 for vaccine is minuscule. I mean, single digit percentage. So the American people have roundly rejected this vaccine for their children under the age of 5. I think the number for children between the age of 5 and 12 is low, 20%, 30%. So despite all of the narratives and despite all of the propaganda, there's something very powerful happening here in the psyche of not only the Israeli people, but the American people. They're not allowing themselves to be propagandized in the way that they were just 2.5 years ago, which yep. is nothing short of a miracle. They're being red-pilled on a daily basis. When we come back on our talk, I loved your piece in the Substack. I'm fascinated by what you found. He ran a piece the other day. Have you been able to red pill people? Meaning, as we go out in our daily world, in our daily lives, and we're having conversations with people, neighbors, family members who may have been vaccine injured or who may be considering having a booster, right? We're doing that on the ground work of spreading good information and giving people the information that we've been able to acquire. Now, the question is, can you convince people? And, you know, this has been in some cases, Steve, like, you know, bashing your head up against the wall trying to get these people. But I'm really curious as to what you are able to glean from your audience. There were a lot of responses and with their own shared experiences or their own experiences, red pilling friends and neighbors. And so when we come back, I want to look at that in the final segment of the Shannon Joy Show.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
In a case reminiscent of James Comey's infamous recitation of Hillary Clinton's crimes, sending top secret documents using a non-secure email account through a hackable private server, deleting 33,000 emails, bleach bitting hard drives, destroying devices with a hammer. Before he concluded that the Department of Justice is going to decline to prosecute. Guess what? Department of Justice is going to decline to prosecute President Trump? No! An assistant U.S. attorney that exposed his genitals to a woman, forced her to touch them, and then lied about it to the Office of Inspector General. But that's okay. Clearly, he's on the right side of the law, not the wrong side. Meanwhile, DOJ is also issuing subpoenas and search warrants for allies of President Trump. You want to end two-tier system of justice in this country? Defund FBI, defund DOJ. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
When it feels like the world has stopped, good finds a way. Good never stops, and neither does Children International. To learn more, go to children.org/help.
We don't rock. We talk. Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Final segment of the Shannon Joy Show tonight, joined by Steve Kirsch. You can find all of his data, the information, and his writing over at stevekirsch.substack.com. One of my favorite articles you put out this week, Steve, is that question: have you been able to red pill people? And so I want to start with you first. Have you been, if anyone can red pill someone, it would be you, right? You've got all the data, mountains of data. You're a tech genius, and you have connection to, you know, some pretty big fancy people, not only in the country, but across the globe. Have you been able to red pill anyone? And if so, who's your favorite?
Not that I'm aware of.
Darn it. There's no hope for the rest of us. I'm just joking.
Not that I'm aware of. There was one guy who met me in the supermarket, and we chatted, and I said, "Hey, you're wearing a mask. You know, there's no data that shows that masks are, you know, work." And he said, "Oh, really?" And he took the mask off. And then I saw him. I watched him as he left the supermarket, and he put the mask back on.
No. Oh my word. Oh, yeah. My word. Let me tell you my story.
That was like a head fake.
Yeah.
I've never been able to red pill anyone. They walk away.
Oh, man. Can I tell you my red pill?
I tend to take a more direct approach. I'm like confrontational, like, hey, you know, here's what the data shows. And the
you moron
that war, yeah, I'm not that crass about it. Yeah. The way that people have told me that they can get things to work is that they play dumb. They play like, oh, you're getting vaccinated. Oh, what? You know, I'm kind of on the fence on that. What convinced you? You know, and you get them to re-examine, like, oh, so there's really no evidence that convinced you of this. Do you ever see a safety study on, I never trust my doctor.
Wow.
Well, did your doctor ever show you like a safety study on this? Well, why is that? You know, I'm kind of worried about other vaccines as well. Do you think those are safe? And why do you think that? Has your doctor ever showed you that? You know, and you know, so you get into this conversation because you have to play dumb. You have to play like you're the dumb person.
Sure.
Because people like to show how smart they are.
Right.
How brilliant they are and how they made the right decision and how they got all the data. So you basically have to put them into a position where you're playing the dumb person.
Right. And you're just walking them through the rationale and letting them get there, thinking that they're getting there on their own, but really gently guiding them to perhaps a conclusion. I have a hilarious story. I mean, I have red-pilled a couple people, but the thing is, I mean, I don't know if I've red-pilled them. I've witnessed, I know them as they've been red-pilled, which is fascinating. Yeah. So I'm at my block party over the weekend. We have an annual block party, and one of my absolute favorite neighbors, John, recently moved away. His wife tragically passed away during COVID-19. And so he sold his house and moved to the country. He's living in a yurt on a Finger Lakes. He's on Keuka Lake in a yurt in this like beautiful, beautiful area. And he's basically gone total hippie, like total hippie. So he comes back after, you know, a year in the wilderness. And he was like my left-leaning, left-wing, never met a Democrat he didn't love. He voted for Obama. He voted for Biden. We would spar about politics all the time, right? And I even remember, you know, shortly into COVID-19, he's, you know, getting the vaccine, or he wants to get the vaccine, blah, blah, blah. Well, he comes back from a year in the wilderness and he's like, Shannon, how does it feel you were right about everything. And I'm like, no way. And he gave me this big hug and we had this great conversation. He's like, you were right about everything. He's like, I had to go and live like a hippie on the lake in order to figure it out. But he's like, everything, the vaccines, this and that. And I thought that was kind of fun. But I also had another friend, a woman, a suburban left-leaning mom of one. She was double vaxxed, her husband double vaxxed, and she double vaxxed her daughter, who's 12 years old. And we went and had dinner one evening with them and another couple. And she grabs me and says, Shannon, I cannot believe that I did this to my daughter. I cannot believe that I did this to myself. Like, she was angry. I mean, she was so hot over being lied to, like she just accepted everything. So that gives me some hope, you know, to see that, but I don't necessarily think it was anything that I did with them as much as it was their own rationale. Is there, you know, there, it's something just clicked where they're like, wait a second, this doesn't make any sense, you know? Yeah. So the number one was playing dumb. Any other ways that people were successful in red pilling?
People have used different techniques. People in the military have there's a DOD guy who has a 77 slide presentation, and he says that's really effective in convincing people because it shows the military servicemen all the hypocrisy that's going on.
Wow.
So, you know, that's certainly an option.
You have to imagine that people are being red pilled because the vaccine numbers are the rates of vaccination are declining to such an extent. There's got to be something going on in the psyche of the American people. Maybe they're just not articulating it yet, I guess, is the only thing I can think of.
I mean, I think that the certainly the numbers for people getting the boosters are going down and down and down in America.
You think it's going to crater?
Yeah, it's on that pathway. And of course, I'm doing everything I can to influence those numbers. So it's amazing that I have virtually no money to spend. I have less than $1 million to spend to do this. And they're spending $1 billion.
I know.
Right. So they're outspending me, you know, probably 10,000 to one, and I'm winning.
Yeah. When do you think
you can only do that if you have the truth on your side?
It does. You know why? The truth cuts like a hot knife through butter,
yeah.
Right? You don't need a whole lot. If you know, that is some of the most effective messaging. When do you think, what do you think needs to happen? What are the conditions necessary for us to hit that tipping point to break?
I think once the Israeli study gets more press, the Epoch Times can tip that. And then more and more publications pick it up. It is absolutely astonishing. Like, you don't have to be, you know, even if you're blue-pilled, it has to wake you up that there isn't, that this Israeli study has to wake you up. It has to wake you up from the slumber. If it doesn't, you're not a thinking person. And so this is why it was so important that the Israeli press not cover this.
Wow.
If they covered it, it's all over. And if it's all over in Israel, then the rest of the world will say, well,
The
Israelis figured it out. How come we're not? Like, why are we not paying attention to that data? And how come we never did a study like that? So I think this is the... to me, this is really damaging to them. There's no way you can defend against that. Even the trolls on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first they were saying, oh, you're taking it out of context. You're taking it out of context. Okay, so what's the context? Right. and then there's silence.
There really is. I want to encourage you guys, go to Steve's Substack, stevekirsch.substack.com, and get his very lengthy and detailed review of this story. He's the best. You all, like, links, hyperlinks, data, charts, everything is right there at your fingertips. And help us disseminate this. go to his Substack, push it out, share it with your friends, push it out again. I'm late to the party here, Steve. I can't believe like this has been circulating for, you know, well over a week. I mean, you put this out on the 15th or no, you put this out on the 2nd. So it's been like almost 2 weeks. But we're going to do everything that we can to push this out because this is it. I mean, this will be a civilization changer. If we can get people to wake up, if we can get people to wake up and acknowledge this truth of the truth as to what happened over the past 2.5 years in these vaccines, this is going to test everyone's trust in nearly every institution that we have trusted for over 100 years in our modern culture. And so I don't think I can understate how much this means. And again, it's a smoking gun. There really is, even like you mentioned, Steve, even the trolls on Twitter aren't going to be able to get through this. All right. We are out of time. Thank you so much for all of your very hard work. And how can people support what you do?
Yep. Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure.
As always.
All right. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all again right here on TNT Radio.